Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, look, you know, haven't we all been excited by the improving weather? And as I was saying, I was boasting away how I got out and mowed my lawns on Saturday. Just so nice to be out there. We've been welcoming the sight of daffodils emerging, and just a relief, really, that the snow didn't take its toll, preventing them bloom. Well, we're delighted to have in studio this morning Anne-Marie Bowring from the Dorky Garden School to talk to us about spring gardens and general garden health. You're very welcome to the show, Anne-Marie.
Good morning, and thank you for having me today. It's lovely.
So, first of all, Anne-Marie, did the recent snow periods take their toll on your garden? I mean,
I was lucky in the sense that my garden, I don't have a lot of very non-hardy plants. I do have a couple, like my pelargoniums, which people call geraniums. They got a lashing this year.
Okay.
Because for the last 7 years, we haven't had snow. And, you know, you take things for granted. You say, it's grand. You know, I had another big plant called Melianthus major, which is a really nice frondy plant. And that took a big hit. But it's okay. And it's going to come through. It looks a bit tired now, but it will be all right. There are a couple of other plants that I have got a good knockback, but majority are fine. And of course, if a plant is long established and has deep roots, the chances are it will come back.
Yeah,
you know. So
yeah.
Don't worry. Don't panic. Don't cut everything away straight away.
It might not do much this year, but next year it'll come back.
Yeah, just leave it for a while. Yeah. Cut it right back. Let it sit, and the next thing you might see a green shoot coming up, and there you are, bingo! You know it's alive, and it'll come back to you.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, what are your gardening plans for the spring?
My gardening plans for the spring. Well, my daffodils, which I love, are only beginning to come out, and normally they're finished at this time of year, which is kind of a shocker. The tulips are definitely thriving. They like the bit of cold, so they're doing well. I did manage to, my vegetable garden, for example, I did plant a few broad beans last week. I planted some in November and they're coming up strong. I planted some onion sets, some garlic, because we're lucky on the East Coast here that our climate is not as wet as they have in the West Coast.
Yeah.
Like, for example, a lot of the traditional day for planting potatoes, they always said it was St. Patrick's Day, the 17th of March. But quite often the soil is too cold, too wet.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that you have to be aware of, because if you plant potatoes in very wet soil, the chances are they'll rot, or they won't do well.
Yeah.
And also if the soil is too cold, they just won't grow. They just sit there and do nothing.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
for a while, and too long sometimes.
But it's probably warm enough now, would you say?
Well, I think today would be okay, but the weather is threatened again for the weekend.
Yeah,
but how bad, I don't know. But the evenings are, you know, well, obviously we had the time change, but the evenings naturally are, the days are getting longer with longer light hours, longer bits of sun. Let's put it that way. Bits of sun.
There's a question I've often had and never asked anybody. Do plants respond more to temperature or more the lengthening of the day, or is it a bit of both?
It's both.
Yeah.
It's absolutely both. I think one example for me now would be sweet pea, which I would plant indoors in, say, October, from September on, really, from October, well, November, say. They will grow for a little while. I have them in protection. They will grow for a little while and then suddenly they'll stop. And that's because the light levels have dropped.
Yeah.
And if you were to bring in artificial light, then they will keep on growing. So the light has a huge effect on them there. But now the light is up and they're growing well again.
Yeah, very good. What makes for a healthy garden? I mean, I'm really conscious now that we're separating our garbage. You know, we've got all the biodegradable stuff. We're not doing a whole lot of composting. But what makes for a healthy garden?
Well, compost is key to a garden. Compost, organic matter of any description, manure, well-rotted manure. Most of the manure we get nowadays is not cow manure, it's horse manure. And you have to be a bit careful with it sometimes because it can have seeds in it and it can be quite invasive. But if it's well rotted, it should be fine. A healthy garden means that you have a healthy insect population.
Yeah.
You have healthy soil, key, absolutely key. And just like us humans, where antibiotics are becoming a bit of a problem, using artificial chemicals to kill your bugs, they also are developing immunities as well. But I would be totally against using chemicals to kill your bugs because they don't kill just that particular bug. They kill the good bugs as well.
Yeah.
So really, to have a healthy garden, we'd call it a balanced garden,
where
you have plants growing that will invite insects in, that will eat the other insects, and it's a whole interconnected system.
Yeah.
And that's where companion planting in a vegetable garden can be very useful. And having our gardens, our suburban gardens, are absolutely a great source of life because we have huge biodiversity, which means we have lots and lots of different types of plants growing rather than just one particular plant. And the plants help each other and encouraging your birds, of course, into your garden. They will eat the snails for you. I've come across snail shells in my garden with holes in them. I know a bird has eaten the snail. Slugs, which is a big problem for a lot of people. Again, you by planting you, and waiting, there's a little beetle that will eventually arrive and it'll eat the larvae of the slugs. And if you encourage, you know, you have little sources of water. Now, it doesn't have to be deep ponds or anything, but shallow ponds to encourage frogs into your garden spawning this time of the year. When they're finished spawning, they will actually live in your garden. But you must have water sources in your garden because we're 80% water. We need to drink. And by golly, do our little creatures need to drink as well.
So what's the advantage of having frogs in your garden?
Well, they eat slugs.
Okay.
And they'll pick up all sorts of things that you don't realise that they're eating. And they're hidden. They're there. You know?
They're doing a job.
They're doing a fantastic job.
Can I just come back to you on the composting thing? You know, one of the things that people have concerns about with composting, if they start going down that road, is, you know, will it attract vermin of the wrong variety? Will it bring rats and things in? I mean, have you got any comment on that? And is there a way to sort of compost without running into that?
Rule number one, never put cooked food into a compost waste bin. There are other ways you can compost cooked food, but in a compost bin, a healthy compost bin will be a mixture of brown matter, which would be twigs and sticks and paper, even shredded paper, and then green matter, which would be your grass clippings and your green leaves and everything like that, but not too much grass. Well, grass, but mix it, because grass become very sluggish and can be very
What about vegetable peelings?
Absolutely,
sort of
absolutely. I was told you shouldn't put potato peelings in it, and I said, "Oh my God, we peel so many potatoes, I have to put my potato peelings." And one of the reasons for that is because sometimes they will sprout. So I think I would put everything into my compost. The smaller the surface area, the quicker it'll break down. And unfortunately, rats with their long tails, I hate them. I'm terrified of them. I have never seen a rat in my garden. And I have 9-10 compost bins in my garden. I have a big garden. And I have never seen vermin. I'm sure they're there. But I haven't disturbed them.
They haven't bothered you.
They haven't bothered me. But we live in a symbiotic relationship. They're not, you know, they're scary. But if you know, they're very dangerous if they bite you. But they do a job as well. They're part of the cycle.
Very good. Okay, very good. Okay, so look, our gardening also impacts the little creatures that call our gardens their home. Now, what about birds, feeding birds and all of this? I mean, there was a thing there where we were feeding birds all the wrong material and it wasn't doing them much good at all.
Well, I'm not an expert, but I gather that feeding them bread is not a great idea because it's not very healthy for them. But we do feed them crumbs and that sort of thing. I suppose it's nice, it's a good thing to do. But the bird seed that we use in our seeders are usually developed in countries that don't, in Africa is a great source of birds where we import our bird seed from them. So therefore the seeds, if they fall on the ground, they won't germinate, so don't be afraid of them falling on the ground. The other thing too is that bird seed feeders, get one that is squirrel proof.
Squirrel proof.
They will come into your garden, and we don't like squirrels at all. Well, grey squirrels. We love the red squirrel, but not the grey one. And there's good reason for that.
Now, and Mari, you have an irrigation system in your garden. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, for a long time, I mean, you know, lots of compost, lots of matter that will absorb water. You know, I always use that. But my vegetable beds are raised beds, and they are near trees. Now, they get plenty of sun, but the trees obviously are taking most of the water. And your vegetables will not grow unless they're watered. They just won't grow, and you won't get nice vegetables. So I've bitten the bullet and I've got an irrigation system into my raised beds, and I was really terrified for a long time. I said, how are they going to do it in a neat way? And I got a company called Irritech out, and the guy who fitted it, I am bawled over. He was just amazing. He's so efficient, and I'm really excited that I'm probably going to have good vegetables this year for the first time. And it's on a timer, which means you're not wasting water. It'll go on twice during the night and once during the day.
And it's just sort of plastic pipes that run through the garden,
pipes.
Is it?
No, they're actually lying on top of the beds, and they have little holes in them, seepage holes. And it's on a timer, so it goes on for about maybe 10-15 minutes twice during the night, and it's direct. Because plants start to grow first thing in the morning. That's when they start taking in their first nourishment of water, and then during the afternoon, later on in the afternoon, just to make sure.
Yeah,
because we don't get as much rain, especially on the East Coast, as we think. We did it last night. Thank God we got some rain last night. Yeah. But we don't get as much rain as we think we do.
Yeah, that's, I think that's true too. I think you're right about that. Now, and Mari, you have a gardening school.
Yes, I do. I was a small little gardening school, and I run a series of workshops. And one of the workshops that I have coming up is about pest and disease management. Now, I've had to postpone it, so I have a new date coming up. I'm not sure what it is yet. But I'd run courses on basic gardening, on art in the garden, drawing, painting, botanical plaster casting, basket making, willow weaving, and of course, all about gardening as well.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
So you can find out more about that at dorkygardenschool.com.
Yes, you can.
That's dorkygardenschool.com. And Mari Bowring, founder of the Dorky Garden School, thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.